So how about we get this thing a rolling tonight, everybody? I am so excited. Now that I have finally got to streaming there on YouTube, I am even more excited. If you are seeing us live somewhere other than the room, we want to invite you just to hop over to cindyrushton.com/Zoom and join us where you can chat with us and get into all the fun, because we will turn off the live broadcast at some point and you want to be in this room. So anyway, again, cindyrushton.com/Zoom. Tonight, oh my goodness, I'm excited because this is our fourth night, right, of our retreat online, Come Away, My Beloved. And you guys, tonight you're in for a treat. I believe that tonight you will not leave this room the same. I think God's got a special appointment. And so just grab yourself a cup of tea or whatever your favorite thingy is. I'm going with lemonade this afternoon or evening. And just kick back. I believe that you're going to be basking and in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to pray in a moment for that. Our speaker is Michelle Rushman. And girl, she is going to be speaking on the topic of Jesus is safe. Now, for those of you that have already gotten your action guide, you probably have already peeked at what she's got for notes. But tonight, get ready. She is coming in full of the Holy Spirit, and I know she's going to she's going to move aside and let him be the teacher, and I just know that. So I'm so excited. If you're not familiar with her, you definitely want to follow her everywhere and get connected everywhere she's at. I know you're going to love to connect with her, and she can tell you more about that in a bit. Tomorrow night, we have one other session, and that's going to be with Kim Hewitt. She's going to be speaking tomorrow night, and oh my goodness, I'm telling you, every single night I have been about to jump out of my skin in excitement, because every single topic I believe is just brought together by the Lord. He has wove it together. When we were planning this, I was on overflow during plans, and I've stayed on overflow through the plans. And so tomorrow night, we're going to be learning with Kim on walking in your true identity. So it's such a beautiful week. If you have missed being able to have any of the sessions, we have already got all the sessions up to date posted on the membership page. And it's easy for you to grab the set. It is a crazy little price that I just think it's one of those that you are going to want to have to go to again and again. At minimum, I'm telling you, the set is worth what you pay just for the action guide alone. But then you will have all the replays of the audios, and well, they're in audio or video format, whichever way you prefer. You like to watch it online or you want to download it. They are available right now for video download as well. That will be on a limited time, because we're going to be changing that up. You can also, we've got some fun bonuses on the bonus page that you've got to grab. This it's great. There's anything from a planner to some different Bible study resources. It is just loaded. Before I totally turn everything over to Michelle, I want to see first if Kim is in the house. Let's see.
She is. Yes!
Kim, come on out.
Hi. Hey, Michelle.
Hello. Thank you for that declaration. Thank you.
I'm with you.
I've been feeling it with prayers.
Yes. I know. See, I'm all calm for you right now, but tomorrow you feel free to smack me when I'm saying, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But what I think is amazing is helping over at CPC, the pregnancy center, the nurses will tell us interesting stories of ladies who come in for very early ultrasound, and the nurse is pretty convinced there's really not much to see, but through the power of God, when they see that ultrasound, to them, they see life, and it completely turns around. So it just kind of gives me peace to say, in a lot of sense, yes, your words are powerful, but Holy Spirit is so much more powerful and what he reveals to people. So just us being here is a huge blessing.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, Kim, I'm so glad you're here. And we are excited to hear you tomorrow night. I know you're going to be, you've already been sitting at the feet of the Lord, and I'm looking forward to tomorrow.
I'm looking forward to it too. I'm already starting to get a little hot thinking about it, but it's okay.
In Alaska. In Alaska. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm hot. I'm hot in Alaska. It can happen. Yes. Maybe it's a hot flash. I don't even know.
And also in our amazing group of speakers, we have had Felice Gerwitz. Felice, you got anything tonight before we get started?
I just want to say I'm going to be praying for everyone tonight, and we've really been lifting up not only the speaker, Cindy Wright, but all of those who are in attendance. And I just really want to thank Lucia for last night. That was really powerful. And Cindy's, wow, what a kickoff. So if you do not have the set, Cindy will drop in her link for purchasing and just making sure. I mean, it's all of $17, you know. It's like going out for, I don't know, two people at burgers these days, right? And so it's such a great deal. And I just have been really blessed to be part of this. I'm not going to be able to stay all night, but I'm happy because I have access to the set and I'll be able to listen in on Michelle's later on. And then I'll try to pop back in if I can. I've got a conference call. So I just want to tell you guys I love you, and I'll be you know, listening in later and reading the chat. So you guys chat up a storm and be posting, you know, like a lot of times our speakers will say something that's really significant or touching. And I just love to go back and read the chat. So make sure you do that.
Oh yeah.
Love you guys.
Love yes. You. And then Lucia, got any words tonight? I don't hear you.
Had myself muted. You know, God is just so faithful to answer our prayers and bless us, you know, and we just have to take it by faith. And Michelle, I know you're going to do awesome tonight, just like Felice and Cindy did. And iron sharpens iron. It has been such an honor to just be a part of this group and let God stretch me and just see what he would do. You know, beyond what we could imagine or even think that would be possible. So thank you for being a part of this with us. It's been so much fun. I look forward to being in the room every night with y'all.
Do you mind opening us tonight in prayer?
I'll be glad to. Oh, Father, we just thank you so much for who you are, Lord. God, we thank you that you give us dreams and you give us visions, Lord, and then you make them come to pass, Father, as we put our hands to it, as a perfect example that this conference is. So, Father, I thank you that in actuality, we're no different than Cindy, and those little dreams, the big dreams, the what-if dreams that you have put in our hearts. Father, I thank you that each lady is going to have boldness and courage to step up to the plate and do what you have put in their heart to do. Father, I thank you that each speaker has just built on each other, as Cindy has said. You have orchestrated everyone's message to fit together so perfectly, Lord. And we thank you for that, Father. And Lord, tonight I pray for Michelle. What an awesome opportunity that we get to sit at her feet and just learn from her what she has got from you, how you have helped her, how you have blessed her, how she has overcome with your power. And Father, I thank you that tonight she's going to speak the very oracles of God. Father, I calm any jittery feelings. Father, I thank you for she's full of peace. She's full of power. And God, I thank you this is going to be the easiest message that she's ever shared with us. God, I thank you she's calm. I thank you she's relaxed. And Father, I thank you for the word that you're going to share through her. I thank you, Lord, that her tongue is that of the pen of a ready writer to write upon our hearts tonight, Father. And Lord, I thank you. I just praise you. And I just call this done now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, Michelle, here you go. Everybody, if you'll mute that. Oh, let me mute everybody and then I'll unmute her. How about I do that real quick? All right. And then, all right, let's do it.
Let's see. Oh, am I muted? Hello, there I am. Can everybody give me a thumbs up? You hear me okay? Oh, okay. Thank you. So this presentation is really going to be about three parts. And the first part is kind of two components, how we kind of ended up here tonight. And I wanted to offer some testimony about where I have come from being unbeliever to madly, deeply in love with Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God in a way that has taken me by surprise. And then the second part is we're going to get into the Word and sit with our sister, the bleeding woman, for a little bit. And then we're going to finish off because I want to offer some practical applications so that you can heal a moment and kind of step out and be equipped with some action steps after this. So you'll kind of know where we are in the presentation based on that. And I'm so, so blessed that you're all here. I'm seeing so many familiar names in the chat. I have everybody on a grid so I can see everybody together. And I'm just picturing us in a room hanging out, having some knee-to-knee time, having some chai tea with my girlfriends. And this is such a blessing. It's really a dream come true. And I'm so grateful to be a part of this. And I'm so grateful that you have come in on this journey with me, because so many of you, all of you just mean so much. Some of you I've not gotten to meet yet, but I'm so blessed that you're here and that you've been meeting us in these spaces for the last week. So the way that Zoom works, I wanted to share this with you. The way that Zoom works is you see my box lit up because I'm talking. Everybody is muted right now. But if you dare, I would love for you to turn on your camera so I could see your sweet faces. I won't ask you more than once. I want you to be at your comfort level. You know what's going on in your home. But if you feel bold, I would love for you to turn on your camera so we can just all be together. Hey, girl, get it, Amanda. So thank you so much for doing that. I love just seeing all your sweet faces. Cindy's the same. So thanks so much for that. And regardless, just know, see this world loved behind me. It's facing you guys for a particular reason. I'm not looking at it. I wanted you to see it, to know that everything that we're talking about tonight is said with love. And I want you to feel the love that I have for you. You know, throughout this presentation. And I pray that my words are translated in your journey in a way that is meaningful for you and that the way that God intends. So, so grateful for that. And I'm just praying that and speaking that over you right now. So this is a little bit of an unusual talk because I think this is really for women that are not even here. So, because I know that this is not something that in my healing that I would have shown up to. And because there's some sensitive topics that we're going to be talking about tonight. So if you came in out of curiosity and you're thinking, why are we talking about Jesus being safe? You know, my friend Donna is on here right now. And one of the conversations that we had a couple of days ago, she says, you know, I know you're talking about this topic, but for the life of me, I can't understand why we're talking about the safest person in history being safe. Why does that have to be said? And so we're going to talk a little bit about that because some of us with some of our backgrounds don't necessarily come to Jesus feeling like that, you know, from the jump. You know, if you're not taught that, if you're not in that safe space, you don't necessarily feel that way. It has to be developed. It has to be developed through a trust and a deepening relationship. So I hope that this talk is not something that even if you don't need it for yourself, that it could possibly equip you to share it with someone else who may need to know this message and that needs to know that Jesus is safe. So how did we get here? Listen, if you know me at all, if you know me outside of this computer, you know, I'm as surprised as you are that I am here online doing Come Away, My Beloved. So it all starts on February 8th, Saturday, February 8th. Felice is on here right now. She is the founder of the Ultimate Christian Podcasters Network, and she is also the founder of the Ultimate Christian Communicators Conference that we just came off of. And so February 8th till now, literally Revelation February 8th, and now I'm sitting in front of you on February 27th. So only God can accelerate in such a way. All credit and glory goes to him, because in my flesh, I'm going to hide in the corner and, you know, just do my thing in my safe space here in my town. So so I appreciate that this opportunity. It's been awesome. So here's what happens on February 8th. I go to the conference. I go to a workshop. And Marnie Swedberg, she has, you're Felice Gerwitz. I'm talking about Marnie Swedberg. You know what I'm saying. So Marnie Swedberg is the founder and director of womenspeakers.com. And she has a workshop called Pitch Like a Pro. And so I'm like, I would like to pitch like a pro, you know, in about a month, I'm going to a writer's conference to pitch my book, Jesus and Me. And I want to be able to pitch it well, because last year I tried, it was a disaster. I cried in front of a literary agent and it wasn't fun. So this year I'm hoping to go in with no tears. That's the goal. You know, if we meet that requirement, I'm doing a good job this year. So I go into the workshop and Marnie says, okay, in 30 words or less, give your elevator speech, right? And I'm like, 30 words or less. And so I do a lot of different things. I am, there's a TED talk on multi-potentialites, and we just kind of go into a lot of different directions. So I love making jewelry. I'm an artist. I'm a writer. I love doing it all. But I segment a lot of the areas of my life. So I just kind of go where the mood hits me. And so Marnie says, give me 30 words or less, right? So I start going into my notes, and this is my actual sheet, okay? This is me trying to put 30 words or less what I can do. And so let me read it to you, because this is brilliant and genius, and you'll just be amazed. So it says, I'm Michelle Rushman, a writer for Go Christian Magazine and the author of Jesus and Me. I wrote it because I wanted to know who he was to his disciples. So I even circled the number 30, because I'm like, I got 30 words. I nailed it, right? So I go up to Marnie with my piece of paper. I'm like eager. I may have been high-fiving myself all the way up to Marnie, and we're in workshop and in front of people. Like, I am not invisible. I'm in front of people with my bit of paper, and I very confidently read to Marnie what I say. So Marnie, at that point, after I've read it to her, she turns me toward the class, which is amazing. And she says, guys, this is the best first pitch I have ever heard. And I hope this is the standard that you're aspiring to as you finish up your own pitches, is what I imagined her to say. This did not happen. This has not happened. What actually happens is I might have heard the sound, right? And so I'm like, so now I'm at a loss, because I'm in front of everybody. I have no idea what I'm doing. I have 30 words. I counted 30 words. And so she says, okay, well, we need to, so we start working in front of everybody, because it's work, we're workshopping, right? And we want to, you know, make it better for everybody. So she says, okay, well, you want to know all that, but what else? And I said, well, you know, she was like, so tell me more about your story. And I said, well, I became a Christian in 2009. And she says, okay, so from 2009 to 2020, what are y'all about? And go. And I'm like, I don't know. So I'm like this, I love Jesus and I want everybody else to love Jesus. so doesn't everybody, right? So she's like, okay, yeah, but we need to find out your story. Well, because Marnie has incredible grace and mercy, she lets me sit back down to my seat. And I am looking at this piece of paper like I don't know what else I'm going to write. So I don't have it. I don't have my 30-word pitch. I have, at that point, I'm questioning all that I do, because if I'm doing it and I don't know how to say it, what's the point? And I'm feeling like seriously defeated because I can't even articulate what I do to other people. So at that point, I go into a workshop with Cindy Rushton, who is our MC for this evening. And she is doing a workshop called Building a Productive, Prolific, Profitable, and Very Successful Business. And I want to know that too. So I go in and I sit down in the workshop and I start to pray. And I am praying about what my purpose is. I have no idea at this point. And luckily, you know, Cindy has a way of encouraging and speaking life into you in a way that it starts to break down the walls enough that there are cracks for the Lord to be able to start seeping in. And I was so grateful. And I honestly, you know, trying to listen to her and pray at the same time was quite the juggling act. But at that point, even while I'm a little bit in a fog, I'm just praying, Lord, what is the point of me? And so as I'm saying that, God is saying, you didn't have it because you were trying to answer the wrong question. This was not about you from 2009 to 2020. This was about why it took you so long to get to 2009. And at that moment, all my worlds collide, because he says, I want you to tell my girls Jesus is safe. And in that moment, I just start to cry, and because I know exactly what he's asking of me. But in that moment, with all the worlds colliding, the writing, the art, the jewelry, they're no longer separate parts. In that moment, all the spokes were captured in the wheel everything that I've been trying to communicate for 11 years. And I didn't know that they were all parts to a whole. I thought they were all kind of segments of me. So the next time I was in front of Marty, I wasn't as eager to get up to the front. I'm a little subdued because I know that as soon as I speak out who I am, I have to deal with who I've been. And I know why it took me so long to get to 2009. So I get up to Marty and I read, "Hi, I'm Michelle Rushman, and I reassure women that Jesus is safe. As a professional writer and artist, I guide women into a friendship with Jesus, the gentleman we've all been looking for." And now I said, in 2009, I said yes to God after running for a long, long time. And I'd rejected religion at 19. And because of my limited knowledge of religion, I thought that letting go of religion meant that I could also let go of God. And for 19 years, I ran. A few times, I looked back over my shoulder to see if he might still be there, but I didn't stick around long enough to let him stick. But you know, if you've ever had that moment where you felt like you needed to run from religion and tried to let go of God like I did, the blessing in that is, as we're letting go, he's not letting go of us. So after, you know, running so long, because it would be another 19 years before I started finding my way back. And it really, was the darkest period of my life. So after running for so long, you know, my daughter was born in the meantime, I start thinking, so she was born in 2005. And I start thinking that I want her to have some sort of spiritual base to just know that there was something greater than her in this world. I didn't know what that was. My husband and I started kind of exploring different traditions and philosophies in the meantime, and nothing was landing. And then in 2008, I start turning the TV on. And when I tell you, every time I turned the TV on, Joel Osteen was there. And every time I turned him on, he was on there. And so, when I was watching him, I would start saying ironically, I started watching him ironically, right? Before I said yes to the Lord, because I would say, I would joke around, babe, I Joel's on, I'm at church. And because I had no respect for what I was really hearing, but I loved this message of hope. And he just had this big smile and it was beckoning to me. And after a while, as the year went on, I was saying it less ironically, and I would say, honey, I need a minute, I'm at church, I'm listening to Joel for a little bit. Well, toward the end of 2008, my sister was getting married in another town, and a few days or maybe a few weeks before I was getting ready to go to the town to see her get married, I get this random email. Like, I didn't even think I was subscribing to this email, but I get this email out of the blue from the Lord, of course, but I didn't know that at the time. And Joel Osteen is going to be in that town on the same few days that I'm going to be there. And it does not interfere with wedding plans at all. So at that time, my brother was really the only active Christian at the time. And so I thought, wow, what a really cool bonding moment for us to go to this event together. And so I asked him if he wanted to go. And, he was really excited that I wanted to go see, this Christian program. And when I bought tickets for just the two of us, we were in the nosebleeds. And so I was like, oh man, we are going to be so far away. He's going to be like a little speck, but that's okay. We're just going to go and have fun. And but just as I was getting ready to hit send for payment, it was like I couldn't quite push the button. And I just felt something in the back of my mind say, see who else wants to come. And before I know it, my mom is going, my brother is going, and my future brother-in-law, whose wedding I'm getting ready to attend, is coming with us. Decides they want to come. So now I'm buying tickets for the four of us. And I'm like, if we're in the nosebleeds for two, we're in the parking lot for four. And so I go to buy tickets. When I tell you, we were probably 10th row center. It was like I could literally see the twinkle coming off of Joel's teeth. Like, that's how close we were. And so we went in there and I heard this really positive message. Well, in the middle of this program, I look over and my hand is doing this. And I'm like, what is happening over here? Like, I've never in my life done this. And so I was like, something's happening. And I promised the Lord at that point, I said, I can't promise you where I'm going to go with you, but I promise you, I will go to church the first Sunday when we get back. That's all I can give you right now. That's all I've got. And so that Sunday, I load up my then 3-year-old. We get in the car, I put on a CD, and on our way to church, I am bawling. Like, I can barely see the road. I'm hoping we're going to get there safely. So we show up and I'm like, we show up to church. My daughter is in the back going, what is going on? And I'm like, if you want me to go through those doors, I need help calming down because I look like a lunatic. I feel like a lunatic. Like, I don't know what's happening right now. And in that moment, the only thing that is registering, the only thing that I can hear is, despite your best efforts, I found you. And, you know, when I heard that, it was one of those weird things where it's like, it wasn't audible, but it wasn't quite just a feeling in your heart, but that's all that's registering is, despite your best efforts, I found you. And so at that point, there was no turning back. And I had to say yes to God. But here's the thing. Here's the problem. If you're going to have a problem in that moment, when you say yes to God and you're ready to go on a journey with him, he introduces you to his son. And have you ever tried to introduce your toddler to a grown-up? I'm like he's trying to introduce me to Jesus and I'm the toddler, like holding onto his leg with the robes over my face. Like, that's where I am. And so I'm like, if I don't see you, you don't see me. But it doesn't work like that, right? So the problem, though, wasn't with Jesus. It was that I wasn't a whole person when I showed up. And, you know, a pivotal point in my life was when I was molested when I was 4 years old by a stranger in an area that I played. And on that day, a piece of me broke off. And I was left in that moment. And it stayed there as I moved through the rest of my life. And because I was already broken, it was easier for more pieces to come off as I meet guys along the way, as substance abuse entered the picture and my roommates were bringing drug dealers to our apartment. Pieces were falling off as I failed out of college for the first time. And pieces fell off when I got into a fight with my boyfriend one night and cut into my wrist just to make a point. And by the time my husband met me, he didn't get me whole. And but he was someone who was willing to help me hold on to what was left. And I'm so grateful for that because I haven't made it easy. So by the time I was introduced to Jesus, I couldn't imagine that the scraps of me that were left were worth the scars on his wrist and his feet. You know, you grow up and you hear Jesus loves you, but it's hard to receive that when you don't feel lovable. And you hear that Jesus saves. But the question that I'm asking is this man safe? And I didn't know that I'd been working on answering those questions until I arrived in 2009, and that I've been working on that since 2009. So when Cindy asked me to do this presentation 2 weeks ago, I knew immediately that my topic was going to be that Jesus is safe. And I was immediately terrified. I have been battling a spirit of fear for the last 2 weeks. But I have incredibly powerful women that have been praying me through so that I could show up today. So here's the thing. How do I share the last 11 years and keep it into a space that we're not going to be here for the next week? But God shared that I didn't have to prove anything tonight. I just needed you. When I talk about Jesus being safe, you know, for other women, my story is my story, and everybody is kind of coming to the throne of the Lord with theirs. And so even if my story doesn't resonate, you know, when I asked the Lord how we're going to go about this, he said that I didn't need to prove anything. I just needed to bring us back into the Word. We just needed to get to know the women that knew Jesus in person and could witness to us and bear witness to his goodness and his nature of being the ultimate gentleman. And so I invite you to come into Luke with me and to talk about the bleeding woman. So if we're asking about Jesus being safe, you know, a man that's safe is a gentleman. And so how do we define that? And a gentleman is defined as being chivalrous, courteous, and being an honorable man. And in each of these scenarios, we ask ourselves, was Jesus a gentleman, right? So we're talking about the bleeding woman tonight, but in the bonus material, I've also laid out a curriculum for the adulterous woman and the woman at the well. So there's so many women along the way that are witnessing about Jesus, about the goodness of Jesus, and their ability to feel uplifted and safe with him. So as we go through the scripture, I would invite you to ask, you know, was Jesus a gentleman in each of these scenarios? Was he courteous and gallant, especially toward women? Was he polite and respectful? Was he considerate in manner? Was he honorable in a way that brought honor to the women and was worthy of honor? And he didn't give special attention and respect to women. And you know, I just find it so interesting that that people don't realize that, kind of look outside into the Christian faith, that Jesus was absolutely, you know, he loved women. I mean, we were special to him, the Lord, the Holy Spirit. There's a special anointing upon women. We have a place in this world to share our hearts, especially to fortify one another. And so as we meet the bleeding women, let me begin with some scripture. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. Now, during this point in history, if you are a bleeding woman, you not only are dealing with that time of the month, but you have to speak unclean, unclean, so that as you're walking through, people have the opportunity not to touch you and become unclean. I cannot imagine having to do that every month. And here we meet a woman who has had 12 years of integrating that into her identity. And so, you know, have you ever felt separated from community? Have you ever felt unclean? And, you know, there's a lot of times when, you know, throughout my life, as I have been, as all these little broken pieces have been left behind me, you know, you feel like that. And so as we continue with her, she came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately the bleeding stopped. And in a later verse, we will see that people were pressing in on all sides. You know, a lot of us here live in Florida, and this is going to be a weird thing, but Disney World, everybody's touching during those crowded moments, right? So if everybody is pressing in on you, to feel one person is not necessarily going to make an impact on you, right? And so so this woman would have had to remain silent in order to get to Jesus. She was risking a lot because it was illegal for her to be among the people in that state, and to taint people in the way along the way. So after 12 years of suffering, she was desperate, and she was willing to endure whatever consequences may follow if only she could touch the hem of Jesus's robe to feel what it would be like to be healed completely, and to move into feeling clean again. She was willing to risk it all for that. So, she comes up from behind, and she's not yet confident enough to face him directly, but understood that any part of him would be enough. Just even the bare touch of his robes, not even to touch his hand or cup his face, but just the hem of his robe. What's something that you may have been long suffering from, where you would give anything just to touch the hem of the robe of Jesus? And what have you reached for in order to find healing? So Jesus asks, "Who touched me?" And here's the thing, Jesus knew who touched him, but he wanted to give her the chance to get to the finish line of her own healing and to participate in her own healing. She had already begun the race of her with her audaciousness to show up among the crowd. I love that word. I want to be an audacious woman. And she had the tenacity to doggedly push and fight her way to get to him. And she was laser focused just to graze the hem of his robes. He knew his determined daughter of God would be courageous before she knew it herself. And he created an opportunity for her to live it out. So when they all denied it, when there was no one that stepped forward to say that I had touched Jesus, Peter says, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." And so everyone's touching Jesus at this moment, but it was this woman who showed up to be healed by his presence and had the faith that he could do it. And so how many of us press into Jesus but have the same kind of faith that he is going to do what he says he's going to do and stand in that truth with him, right? So if you're one of the crowd longing for more, what would it take for you to start moving toward Jesus with the expectation of healing? So Jesus says, someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me. Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. In this scripture, we see that some of the power drained from Jesus. I have to believe it was this very power that she received that gave her the strength to come before him. Because at this point, she has no idea. She has no true relationship with him. She has accusers all around her. And she was able to speak despite the fear that made her approach in trembling. And in this moment, the bleeding woman has a personal encounter with Jesus, and it starts with her fear of him, but she also wants to honor him by bearing witness to what he's done for her. That's what I want to do tonight. I want to bear witness to what he's done. So then he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. And that's from Luke 8:43-48 in the NIV. And Jesus doesn't say, I healed you, go in peace. In front of the crowd, he honors her by lifting her up as an example of why she was healed and that her faith in God had made it possible. That's not to say that people who aren't healed don't have enough faith, but in this particular case, the bleeding woman's circumstances, it was used deliberately by Jesus as a teachable moment. It wasn't just about him. It was also about his father and this beloved daughter. So Jesus wanted her to have a healing, yes, but he wanted her to leave fully restored and whole. He released her not only of her affliction, but of fear, anxiety, and condemnation. So, beloved daughter of God, I pray you know wholeness, healing, and peace through the relationship with Jesus, our ultimate gentleman. So I wanted to share with you not only that precious encounter, and I do pray that, you know, that as you go through scripture, and especially, you know, God, you know, my heartbeat is women's ministry, and the women of the Bible are just amazing, amazing, amazing. And, you know, so many of them start out with such fear and brokenness. And God transforms in the Old Testament. Jesus transforms in the New Testament. And, you know, they're still speaking to us. I mean, they are still pouring into us to this day. And it's incredible. So before you know, I finish tonight, I wanted to share, you know, I wanted to share a practical application that you could leave with. And I call this 3 steps to healing a moment. And there are 3 basic steps. Okay. But you do have to show up with a little bit of courage, because it asks you in these 3 steps to go back into the moments where you left parts of you behind. And it's not easy to face, especially if you would rather ignore it, if you would prefer that you just sweep it under the rug. But if it's something that's hindering you from going forward or from stepping into everything that you've created to be, it's worth going back, and it's worth being in that fully. But here's the thing, we don't go back alone. You know, we've got an awesome big brother, and we've got an awesome dad, and we don't go back to that playground alone. So step 1 is we insert Jesus into that moment. And, you know, the thing about inserting Jesus, this is not an original idea, by the way. Insert Jesus is something that I forgive me, I don't know where it originated. But inserting Jesus into a moment that needs healing is really about a 3D moment. You know, where is Jesus in that scenario? Where is, what is he doing? What is he saying? What is his proximity to you? What is the expression on his face, on his face? What is it that you want to tell him in that moment? And what is it that he wants to exchange for you in that moment? What is it that he wants to give you if you would just give that moment to him. And so some of the questions that you might ask is, where is he in the scene? What's he saying? Who is he looking at? How is his demeanor? Is he moving or being still? Really flesh him out in that scenario. And, you know, when I was thinking about this, I didn't feel like that was enough for me to heal a moment. You know, not, and I would never say that Jesus wasn't enough. It was that in my flesh, I needed more to understand what that moment was, because without these other two pieces, it would be too easy to reduce Jesus to a voyeur and, you know, and wondering why he was just there, you know, because it would be so easy in our flesh to say, why didn't you rescue me from that moment? Why did you make that moment happen? Or why did you let that moment happen? And, you know, this is a broken world. You know, that that moment at 4 years old started in the Garden of Eden. And so I needed two more parts to the scenario to heal these moments. And I have been using these three steps to heal moments throughout my life as they come up as hardships or as hindrances for me to continue on or for me to go deeper into a relationship. These other two parts needed to be part of the healing for me. And so I hope it helps you and resonates with you as well. So I didn't just stop at inserting Jesus. The second part of that for me was identify the enemy. And so some of the questions that I showed up here, because here's the thing, you know, not to say that there isn't people in this world that are just broken themselves. And so they act out in brokenness. And, but what I wanted to do was to give myself an opportunity to look over the shoulder of my perpetrator and see who was pulling the strings. So I could move into a realm of forgiveness and, understand in a strange way to have a level of compassion for him to whatever happened to him to get him to that moment. And so when I'm in this moment with him again, and I'm trying to identify the enemy, some of the questions here would be, what is the negative motivation? What was the thing or person that was used against you? What is the thing that has echoed into the years afterwards? Because, you know, the enemy would love to just hit you one time and it echo for decades to come. What keeps you from receiving the Holy Spirit in that moment? What initiates fear or self-loathing or makes you go against self-preservation? What lies are you being told? What are you being tempted by? And what beckoned you and then turned against you? That's a big one. You know, the enemy knows how to push your buttons and he beckons you with things that you kind of already want a little bit. Not to say that that was me in that moment, but I'm saying in another moment that I'm trying to heal, that might be a scenario that like drugs, for example, right? It's like on this side of taking it, it's like, it's going to make you feel better. You know, you're going to be, you know, now you can party, but then right afterwards, that thing turns on you in a beat and the enemy uses against you what you thought you were using to help heal yourself. And so that's the lie in that scenario, right? So I have a whole list of questions here. They're in the action book. I didn't want to read the whole list because there's several in there. But when we go back to these moments, like I said, we show up as a team. You know, I'm not that 4-year-old little girl anymore. And, you know, I've come back to take care of her. I've come back to protect her. Now he's got to deal with me and my father and my big brother, Jesus, right? So the last step that I needed to heal a moment was discover God's redemption. So if I'm doing step one, insert Jesus, step two, identify the enemy, then step three becomes discover God's redemption. And so questions you might ask in this step is, who was the helper? What was the purpose? What strength, gift, talent, or courage came from this moment? How are you going to help others through this? Where is the provision, the blessing, or the favor? And what, or what ministry has come from this or could come from this? And you're bearing witness to my redemption. And I'm so grateful that you came to be a part of this with me. And I hope that if there was ever any question whether or not Jesus was safe and that you were, you came too broken to be healed, or that you came too broken to not be worth what he did for us on that cross, I assure you that he knew as he was dying exactly what he was doing, and he was already redeeming it. And if it takes you a little bit to get there, I'm with you. I understand. It took me, I took the scenic route to him as well. But I pray that, you know, if you don't have this, if you don't need this yourself, that you'll be able to share this with another sister who may need an opportunity to see it herself. So that's all I have tonight. I thank you so much for coming and being part of this with me. I love y'all. And we can open it up to chat or if you have any questions about what we just talked about.
Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, and I do want to real quick just make a comment here that if you have a question or something that you would like for me to ask, I will ask it if you want to private message it to me without revealing any names or anything too. So this is definitely a safe place regardless of where, okay. As a matter of fact, you know what I'm going to do? I'm probably going to turn off the live video at this point so we can get really intimate. I don't mind people being in the room, but I kind of want to know who you guys are. But I also want to give you a little measure of safety that whatever's being said will stay in the room tonight. So I'm going to turn off, let me figure this out, turn off live. And live people, hey, come see us. We would love for you to come into the room, cindyrushton.com/Zoom. And of course, join us at, you can go to cindyrushton.com on the top header of my menu bar. You can grab this amazing set and you can even work through this on your own. So I just want to throw that out there first, but I do want to close down live for right now, simply because I want some intimacy in the room tonight. So goodbye live. Boom, I got the power. How about that? And so if you have something you want to even keep private and you want me to read a question or something, or for us to have some prayer for you or whatever this is your moment. I want to just share something real quick as I do this. One of the things, and actually Michelle was live with me in Florida and heard my presentation where I talked about my community that I could see that the Lord had put on my heart, like the space, the culture, what we're going to be about, what, how we do things, what you can expect when you come into this space with the ministry and the what is really required of speakers, what's required of, you know, being in the room. It is, I want to have a safe, real, relevant, God-honoring space. And to me, nothing is more honoring than really knowing who he is and how he is and what you can expect from him. And the enemy, let me just say, I know in a myriad of ways he would love for us to have a view about God that is totally inaccurate. A vision God gave me years ago was of the matador whenever in the bullfights. And I saw it on TV and it was like, ooh, that's exactly how the devil loves to act. And here's what I mean by that. He has that red cloth, and that red cloth kind of symbolizes God, although God is so big, you know what I mean? But it's like this image of God that the matador is the enemy. And he's flashing this out as if this is God, when what's really happening, the pain that the bull is feeling, the death that is happening to the bull, is actually coming from what's not flashing before his eyes in that, with that red cloth, but by the stab wounds that the enemy is giving, the stabs that he's taking at the bull. And the Lord just really moved on my heart to say, Cindy, don't let the enemy distract you and try to make it look like it's me doing things, or to misrepresent my heart on how things that have happened to you, or things that are done to people you care about, but to really know who does what. And I hope that makes sense to everybody, because I think that that is one place where we find freedom. It's one place we find power. It's one place we find anointing. It's one place we find our message. Our pain is, as a few weeks ago, my sweet friend Gina Paris shared, our pain is our purpose. It is our passion. It is our pulpit. It is our prosperity. And God means for us to definitely, definitely be healed, be blessed. And he, I love what you just asked us to say, where is Jesus in this? Whatever that this is. I love it, Michelle. So anyway, if there's something that you want for me to ask, definitely, here's one. This is saying, I'm so struggling with writing my testimony because for years I had a cleaned up version. Okay, it was a lie, but the lie I was living. And yet it's so hard of a topic as well, even within the church. Mm-hmm. That's good. Did y'all see? Nobody knows who wrote that, because that's just the anonymity that we have. And, can you address that, Michelle?
I think one of the, I think what's so interesting to me is that the moment that you think you should be silent is exactly your signal that you've got to speak. And I'll give you another, an example of that. And these are tough testimonies, but I will tell you this. Before I came here today, there were a lot of women that came before me that spoke out of hard things. I'm thinking of like Beth Moore and Joyce Meyer. And when people that come before us give us permission to speak, I think it's important that we do. Now, I do think that we need to prayerfully consider what the timing is. You know, I think if you jump out of, if you jump forward without having the anointing for it, God's timing and God's words, I think that's when you can start to feel anxious, you know. As hard as the first 2 weeks were, as I was trying to kind of put together my thoughts for this presentation, starting just a couple of days ago, I felt such a peace about it, and nervous, you know, cause you never, you know, the unknown is always a little bit nerve wracking. But I would say if you've got a story to tell, it's going to give somebody else permission to tell theirs and open those doors. And I think, it allows women, when we share these kinds of things with one another and the vulnerability in that, it just reinforces that we're not alone. And, one of the enemy's tools is isolation and feeling like you can't tell your story. And, and believe me, I'm saying that, as someone who has struggled to really, you know, say these same things publicly. It's time for us to say these things out loud to be able to release it. So I would just say prayerfully consider the timing of it, and make sure that that God is in partnership with you in that, because He's going to offer the ministry in the redemption of speaking it out loud.
I have to agree with you. The times where I feel like The enemy has, or I felt like, let me just say this, or I felt like my voice needed to be silenced. Any of those times. Now, there's times I should probably shut my mouth. Don't get me wrong. But by and large, if it's something that, especially if I'm feeling like, ooh, I really shouldn't talk about this. I'm probably supposed to really probably write books and really broadcast it. I'll give you a good example and really where God took it. And a lot of it was, I have been told by a lot of people that even with my things to be very careful what I say and do because of whatever their reasons were. There are a myriad of reasons, you know, that you get, and I've heard a lot of them. None of them are really sufficient when I take it before the throne of God. But I remember one of the times, I was going through depression. I've gone through it one time in my life. Now, not that I haven't had moments that were depressing. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a blow-to-blow fight with the enemy, that spirit of depression. And that, by the way, we talked about that last night, that being definitely something that the enemy is that those are demonic spirits that come against us. Now, when we make it a way of our life, that can become a lot of our flesh and it can become a lot of our mindset. It can become a lot of our decisions and our choices. So I think that there is a myriad of reasons we get where we are. And I'm not downplaying medical because you know something? I happen to believe that depression tends to run in a few little, it's like a little gang. It runs with fear, it runs with anger, it runs with unforgiveness, bitterness, it runs out there with, you know, that self-deprecating, the self-loathing. It's like the whole myriad of little cronies. They're like a little gang. If you saw them running around, they're spouting off stuff. And when we are not very careful, it's like what we studied in 1 Peter 5:8. If we're not really, really, really careful to be strong, be balanced, be alert, as the Bible says in that passage. And when I'm saying balance, I remember the Lord saying very clearly, Cindy, you've been pushing and pushing things over the edge. It was like, I'm not a person that just dwells on the edge of anything. I'm pretty much usually on a solid space. So for me to be on the edge, the only time I see God saying it's okay for me to be on the edge is when I'm on the cutting edge, taking steps into the unknown for him. It's a different space than when I'm burning the candle on every end. And I'm getting into that place where I'm pushing it, you know, knowing, okay, I'm not taking care of myself, spirit, soul, or body, or all the above. And so going into depression, that actually came after an extended season of pushing the limits, of my mind was being filled with stuff and with habits. I believe some of mine were beyond just a mindset. It was a habit. It was a belief. I had chosen it as some lifestyle. And some of that negativity was just really choked. I was doing a good job helping the enemy on this one. And I'll venture to say very few times has he really gotten me in the spirit realm unless I've helped him to get me. And so that spirit of depression came on. I mean, and I was saying the gang, it's also a lot of times it works with infirmities too. The demonic, infirmity, the spirit of infirmity. And so with that, I had had a lot of loss. I'd had a lot of disappointments. My hope was deferred. I had gone through losing 7 babies and we were having problems in our marriage. The finances were choking me down. It was like I didn't get hit by one or a couple of areas. It was like pretty much everything. The only thing really great in my life, there were two things. It was my children and my ministry. Those were really strong. Everything else was taking a pretty good hit. And probably it was because at that season, those were things that were kind of a little more, I could have something to say about them. And, you know, the kids were little, not too old. And, you know, they were such blessings. And the ministry's always been such a blessing, you know, and I did it God's way. But see, it's interesting. The things I was doing totally God's way, no problem. The enemy couldn't touch it. But when he got me in some areas where I was in some disobedience. I was already pushing it again at the edge, and that came upon me. And, you know, when I look back over that season, I was pretty ashamed of what was going on, because I thought, my goodness, you can surely smile. You know how to pray. You know how to think. You know how to stir up joy inside of yourself. And there was nothing in me happening like this. If I were to look at where I was, it was like the very bottom of what I envisioned of the Grand Canyon. And I didn't know how to get back up. And of course, some of this was, there was a lesson and there was a message. And there, so anyway, it was, of course, at the end of the season, and God actually supernaturally delivered me from depression. And even when a lot of crazy stuff happened later, the enemy wasn't able to trip that again, because I was very aware of what had went on and how to stay away from it. But it was interesting to me. I remember one night going to a mom's group. And when I was at the mom's group, I had my little topic, finished my little topic. Some of you may be in the room, who knows? But I finished my topic, and there was a mother sitting there. And this is usually when you know that Cindy's going to actually use her voice. She was sitting there, and she was so struggling. And I said, well, you know what? The Lord just healed me from depression, but I've went through that. It ends up everybody in the room said, hello, this is what I'm struggling with. This is what I'm just walking out of. There was a revival broke out that night. And all I had to say was, it was the hardest words to say of, this is what I've just come through. Because there was also the cronies of shame and that spirit of coming against me, saying, if people only knew this, that you were doing, that you dealt with this, they're going to judge you and you're going to be obsolete. You won't be able to have a pulpit. And it's just lies. It's just lies. It's like I was sharing Monday night, that the enemy would love for us to think, I mean, like at on that rock in Chapel Hill. That's one of my stories. And the enemy loves to say, if people only knew this about you, you're finished. You're finished. And all I can say is, I've not yet found anything that the enemy is right about on that. He's a liar. And he is a great accuser. He's a great liar. But he is not the one who determines our worth, our value, our future, our story, our power, our anointing, our ministry, our purpose. He's not the one, thank goodness. So anyway, I know some of you, you know, I had breakfast with one of my friends one morning, and she had never told anybody about an abortion she had had. And we were talking, and she said, can I just tell you something really, really tough for me to say? And she said, she told me her story of having an abortion and how she had felt about that. And my heart so broke for her, because not because she did have an abortion, but because there were years and years of her being under torment. I'm talking about more than 30 years of the enemy beating her up, when God was there all along beckoning her and saying, I love you. I love you. So, Michelle, you want to pick up with that?
I'm trying to think about this before I speak it out. It's like, you know, when you go through something like that and you don't understand the not the intention behind it, but how it's going to be redeemed. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to see that, especially when you're in your own personal struggle, especially if there isn't something that you can undo, especially if you are you know, you've got to be, you've got to find healing where you are in this moment so you can go forward. And that doesn't mean that you can't heal from it. You can't feel the love of God from it. And sometimes, and I think, you know, none of it is wasted, because, you know, there are certainly, gosh, you know, I didn't know when my daughter was born. The day that she turned 5 years old, I didn't realize I'd been holding my breath for 5 years.
Wow.
And it, you know, I couldn't change what happened to me, but I could be vigilant. You know, and that's not to say we can protect them from everything, because, you know, our kids have to live in the world as well. But, you know, it does mean that, none of it goes to waste. You know, with God, none of it is wasted. And, you know, even and being in a room like this, or being together as women, that's part of it. Mm-hmm. That's part of it, you know, and feeling less alone as we move forward together.
Right. I love that. And, you know, here again, it's just like I was sharing the other day, that the devil is like a lion. He's not a lion, first of all. Jesus is, he is the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, with all his power and majesty. But the devil wants to be like one. He acts like one. And one of the things that he acts like, and it's a pretty good tool because it works so much. He will come against, just like a lion will come against a flock, like say of gazelles. He will come just like a lion will go against a flock of gazelles, and he will pounce and he'll roar and he'll make a lot of noise and make a lot of snarling, and a lot of things are pretty scary. And his whole goal is his vision. He doesn't have the vision to really see what is in front of him fully. But so he doesn't know if that's just a big animal or if it's a flock. But he takes that chance of the roar, the pounce, and if one runs scared and isolates from the flock, mm-hmm. that's the prey he goes after. And that's exactly how the enemy does. He roars and he snarls and he accuses and he tries to steal and kill and destroy. And his hope is that we isolate, that we don't talk about it. You know, it's interesting that scripture tells us that it, when we confess our sins, or we confess, we tell that story, that we open up and we let other people come in. What do we have? We find our healing. That's where we find our healing. And, you know, that only comes in transparency, that comes in being real. I think that one of the reasons that the world hates, and even Jesus, I read some things he wrote the other day about hypocrites. And he wasn't very overly happy with hypocritical actions. But what is a hypocrite? A hypocrite is somebody that puts on an act. They act like something. So maybe they're acting like they've got all the righteousness, or they've got it all together. And I never want to be called a hypocrite. I do want to be his vessel that he can use. And he heals and broken vessels. He uses broken vessels. They are a glory and an honor to him. And so isolation, oh man, is our worst enemy. It is the worst enemy. Anyway, anybody want to jump in? All you have to do to be able to speak is, pop your little mic there, and you can hop in and share. And by the way, these things always are where you have to be a little rude jumping in, because otherwise, I mean, there's that delay thing. And so don't feel like you're being rude. It's not really rude. It's jump in. Let me see what we got here. It's hard to be real when real means getting kicked out and isolated more. You know what? I think you need a new tribe when it's like that. If there's not a safe space for you to be safe, and grow and connect. I think that's the value of small groups, or that's the value. It's a tough spot. I have a while back, I got sloppy, messy in the middle of some worship at a church. And they were kind of like, what is up with that girl? And I thought, this is not my tribe. This is not my space. Because if I can't be messy and be powerful, I've said it all along. One of my favorite things that I had that brought me a lot of healing was being in a fellowship. I call it my little tribe at church, that I've been totally nasty, snotty, messy. I mean, if I were a fried egg, I was frying all over the ground. I mean, pop, 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 pop. It was messy. And then my pastor coming up and saying, hey, Cindy, she needs you to lay hands on her and go speak a word. I think you've got a word for her. And for me to go from snarling, you know, really contending before the Lord, to then going and prophesying and praying over and being used as an instrument of healing for someone else. I think that we have to have that space. It's kind of like David in the scripture. It reminds me of when he is bringing the ark that had the presence of the Lord in it. Didn't do it perfect. Hello. However, one of the things I thought was very interesting is his wife, the one he was supposed to be partnering with, intimate with, she judged his worship and came at him about it. I mean, I could just almost hear the decibel levels as she was coming at him. And his correction of her was rock solid, but then it wasn't just his correction, it was also the Lord's correction, where her blessings were out the window that day on. She missed it. And so there are going to be people that are around us that miss it. And hopefully it's not someone that's that close, that intimate with us, that will miss it. I put a little thing on my Facebook just this week that or maybe it was yesterday or whatever. It was one of these days that was talking about, you know, that person I could worship with. I jokingly said, not really jokingly, I was pretty serious about it. Just ask Lucia. I remember saying, it's going to take God wowing me. He's probably going to float some guy down from heaven with a big bow on it before I'm going to have another relationship. I'm good. I'm happy. I'm going to be a tramp for the Lord like Corrie Ten Boom. You'll find me tramping all around the world. And nobody's going to mess this stuff up that I have with God, because we're good now. And I remember one of my men mentors who kind of at this church, they had a whole host of them that took in me, a single woman, and loved on me. And I remember one of his, Garland Roland, man, amazing man. He and Gretel one night heard me say that for about my 50th time. And they said, Cindy, I can't wait till the day that you meet him. You're not going to be by yourself. And they're not supposed to give prophetic words that talk like about if you're going to have a baby and if you're going to get married. But they said, oh, no, no, no. You are going to have him. And when you see him, when you get this, it's going to be someone that worships with you. And someone that you can do the things only that God's called you to do together. You're going to have the same vision. You're going to be doing this thing together. And I remember thinking, that's what you think. You know, and I just went home just not even having the option. I had no idea. Like 6 months later, I've been sitting by Charles for 6 months at church, minding my own business. And all along the way, God was moving in his heart, shining a spotlight onto me, doing me some favors. He's pretty cool like that. And I was clueless until that one night that Charles asked permission to walk me to my car because it was raining, and he had gotten an umbrella. He knew it was going to be raining. And so he bought this umbrella and asked permission to walk me to the car. And on the way, he's like, chivalry's not dead. And it had this flash of my son speaking over me, Mom, you need to wait until God brings you a man who will treat you like you deserve to be treated, and who is chivalrous, who will take care of you. And I would have never thought God could do that. I was too broken. I felt too rejected. I felt too hurt. That's probably why I had this huge standard that I raised where you're going to have to be like, Jesus, excuse me. You're not interrupting my soaking worshiping time for me to do this again. You're going to have to show me your faith. You know what? I fell in love with the song Reckless Love, and it wrecked me. Because this man just loved me with me being so broken and so hurting so bad. He dared to love me. And I told him that one of the things God showed me prophetically that night, as it was the first night I'd ever even heard Reckless Love. God showed me his heart literally beating with God's. I couldn't see the difference between God's heart and his heart. He's got such a father's heart. It's so stunning that he loves on me like that. But then also when we did the conference, he loves on the women that God's called me to, my children. He loves on my daughter and my son and my grandchildren. You know, I could have never imagined how God could turn around. And I sure couldn't see it that night on the rock where I thought my life was over. But I can tell you, he's a good God. Mm-hmm. And he's there. He's there. And he's not causing all those things. He's holy. He can't do sin. This is not him. This is not his works. And the enemy, the great pretender, the real hypocrite who wants to play like he's a God that you can follow, he will do a bait and switch on you, and he's not worth it. He's not worth it. But the good news, too, is that he doesn't have the power to keep you where he wants to keep you. God has paid the price. He's paid the price. So anyway, there's my rant. Okay, y'all are going to have to jump in because I can't keep up with your chat. Y'all are too quiet for me.
Cindy, it sounds like, am I on?
Yes, yes.
You were describing exactly what Michelle was saying, is she met the gentleman, you know, that Jesus became the gentleman, and he kind of brought you a gentleman. And everything you described him as is everything Michelle was describing, you know, the father as.
Right.
And I think you and I must be made from the same cloth in a lot of ways, because Michelle and I were just talking. I shared a prophetic word over me. And sometimes, you know, you don't. Sometimes people do isolate, and I've had my time of isolation as well. But other times you build walls. And it's not really to keep everybody out. It's just the people that you don't think you can trust out. And that sometimes comes from the hurts, much like Michelle's, or just a variety of things. Mm-hmm. Or just taking on responsibilities a lot younger than you had to, and doing all kinds of things like that, where you just felt alone and you know, you're self-protecting by building walls. But because it sounded like you were saying, like, oh no, and then someone spoke that over me, like, oh no, you're like that bulldog, you get that bone in your mouth, you know, and nobody's taking it, and that can be a good thing.
Oh yeah.
And that can be, that's good for when you got to go forward, you know, for the Lord and do the things you have to do, you know, to minister. But then the other times where you need to, yeah, release that bone.
Yes, I totally agree. I totally agree. Yeah. And you, the fun thing is watching those who walked with me through that, you know, like in particular, these couples that were in the church, or for, you know, those who walked through all this. No one's surprised. I'm the one that was surprised.
Yeah.
But I think it goes back to some of the stories that the enemy wants to tell us. The enemy wants to tell us we're not worthy, that we are, he again tries to define us and to give us his definition of our identity. And it's funny to me that sometimes we will absorb that definition long before we will embrace the beautiful definition that God has for us. To me, it just amazes me. I'm the world's worst with that one, because, and I'm getting better, getting way better. However, there is just that has been my inclination, and it goes back to our flesh, you know, feeling like that we're not worthy, but you know, we're rejected, or we're summing it all up based on some circumstances or some stories or some situations or some of the things that people have said or whatever's going on in our life. But God.
That goes back to the whole thing we did earlier on identity. All of those last sentences you said were not our identity. They were circumstances. Yes. So fixing that identity first combats all of those other things.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I think if we could give one invitation from this retreat, and we'll probably come back to this, I'm just telling you guys, this is not just a one time. I thought at first when we were planning Come Away Beloved that it was going to be like a retreat, and the Lord revealed to me that this is the name of retreats, because of just all the messages he's already put into my heart, you know, along these lines. But one of the things I think we probably will come back to is exactly what does God say about who we are, who we are. It's actually right there in the Word. I mean, from Genesis to Revelation, we see a constant unveiling of what he wants for us to know about ourselves, or and about him, and about life, and about our power, and about our calling. It's all right there, on and on. And you're right, you know, Christina. I think that it comes down to that definition that we tend to pick up. So thank you for that.
One thing I want to make sure Michelle remembers, remember what you've said tomorrow, because the devil's going to come after you. You shared your heart, and just remember who you are.
And yes, and I want to pray for any retaliatory spirits. Let me pray about that now. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much that you're a God who, this is your message, this is your moment, and I just thank you for giving the courage to each and every speaker that has been a part of this, each and every person that spoke up on the mic and been brave to say, this is my story, this is the things I've learned. Lord, I just pray right now that you bind any retaliatory spirits. We know their work, and we just expose it. We expose it. We don't buy their lies. We do not pay a price, because we declare your glory and your story any more than we pay a price because we breathe. Because the enemy, he hates us. He's always, this is his work, to steal, kill, and destroy, to lie, to accuse. These are his fingerprints. That's his ways. That's his work. That's his life. And Lord, I just thank you that you have just given, you haven't given us a spirit of fear. You've given us a sound mind. You've given us power. You've given us anointing. And Lord, I just pray that you do protect, put a hedge around each and every person involved with this conference. You're so good. Mm. Yes. Miss Lucia, I feel like you got something to say.
I was just sending a message to Michelle, just thanking her for having the courage and the boldness to share your heart. You know, when we are vulnerable, we always take the risk of being rejected or being judged. And, you know, there's other ladies that have the same or similar testimony. that are Satan is holding them captive because they won't step up and address the same kind of situation that you went through. They won't attack Satan and say, no, you've defeated me long enough. And I'm just so proud of you that you stepped up to the plate tonight. You gave your heart to us. And it just helped me be more compassionate for people who I think have it all together that I don't even know what they're going through. I would have never known that you were going through any of that.
Right.
And, you know, you gave Satan a black eye tonight. I mean, you totally defeated him in your life. Yes, that's exactly right. He will never hold you captive in this area again because you have turned your mess into a message and your test into a testimony that if God has helped you overcome this, praise God, he will help somebody else overcome this. Amen. And so thank you for giving us hope, you know, that doesn't matter what the situation is, if we will just get real with ourselves and say, yes, this happened, but I am not the victim. I am going to be victorious in my life. Yes. And so thank you for just stepping up and hitting a home run tonight, girl. It was amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I think that's why I love women's ministry so much is that, you know, when we are the best parts of being women together, you know, it's an unstoppable force. You know, I love the phrase, it's a force to be reckoned with.
Yes.
And, you know, when women collaborate and we have time to speak our hearts and speak an encouragement into each other and cheer each other on, that is exactly, our strengths, you know? And so I just appreciate everybody, you know, here giving me such a safe space to do that with.
Amen. Well, you were amazing.
Thank you.
And Michelle, I think I just feel like asking you to share, like, you know, how you, she won't toot her own horn, but I will. But her, the jewelry with their cross and your whole message is, I mean, it just so, I just keep thinking about how it just, it all ties in with your heart for the beautifully broken. And I just keep hearing, yes, you might have been broken or, you know, as we think, I'm just so broken, but man, what a beautifully broken, you know, story that was redeemed, you know?
Yeah.
But how you articulate that with your jewelry and the pieces and how it's like, I just, when we were praying, just saw like, I know your process of the melting, the pieces, they're broken, they come together. You can explain it better with your heart, you know, in it. But I just saw God in the melting process, just coming like healing oil, you know, and like just a healing balm. And then your cross is made, you know?
Yeah. Back in my jewelry business actually started out with as a cultural expression. And I'm Filipino. I'm a first generation Filipino immigrant. And several years ago, a little over 10 years ago, I discovered that there was the original writing system of the Philippines was called Baybayin. And so I wanted a little bit more of a legacy for my daughter than just our food. And so I started, well, you know, listen, I can make some mean lumpia, y'all. I'm just saying. But So I was looking for this jewelry that had Baybayin on it. And when I couldn't find it, I just wanted to make it myself because I was determined it was going to be my Christmas presents that year for everybody's names to be in this ancient Philippine script. And, but when I became saved, my jewelry took a more faith-based expression. And, I have a love affair with dichroic glass. And it's, you know, the ministry behind Beautifully Broken Crosses is that dichroic glass doesn't come into its brilliance until it's gone through the fire and it's gone through the kiln. And so when I was kind of lamenting that I had apprenticed with, another, glass artisan and, you know, she said, I'm going to teach you how to do it, but you've got to find your own voice. And I was lamenting that I was so bad at it. I was melting things together. It was terrible. And, but God was like, don't throw any of it away. Re-break the glass. Oh yeah. There's one.
Love it.
Re-break the glass and then, bring it back together in the form of the cross so that, we can live into our own brilliance.
I love it. I wear my cross almost every day.
Oh, I'm so glad.
And I just, when I wear it, I think of you and I pray for you. And I'm just reminded how God takes our broken pieces and makes something beautiful out of them.
Amen. Yeah.
Good. Good stuff.
Do you have a link to that, Michelle?
Everything is at michellerushman.com.
Okay.
And so there's yeah, all the different crosses and things that I make are there.
Sweet.
Okay, go ahead and grab one, everybody. Just go ahead. You know, I promise you, you want it. I've been amazed. Mine, it's like a totally different piece of jewelry every single day. And it just kind of reminds me a little of whatever we put on each day, whatever in life we put on each day. There's some glimmers of what God's done in our life right there in that life. Mm-hmm. And so it just reminds me so much. And I love crosses. I have a lot of different pieces that are crosses. And I think my, a while back, you know, someone said something about, wow, you must have a cross for every day of the week. And I thought, yeah, actually probably more than that. But anyway, the reason is because it just reminds me that my greatest story is all about that cross, you know, what was done for me to have power and, to have redemption, to have the assurance of restitution, resurrection, all of that, you know, it's right there in that cross, you know, knowing that is my story. That is my song, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I just love it. That's very special, Michelle. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay. I have to declare party. who needs any prayer tonight?
I have a praise.
Yay.
It's kind of a funny praise. So I'm working on abacuses and designing and making abacuses for this school in Africa. Because, well, I love them, and math is so much easier when you have something to count. But we're kind of locked down a little bit in our house, not completely, but because of coronavirus, we're not going out as much, et cetera. So I'm having to try and do stuff with what I have in the house. So flashback to November, December, and our church has a huge Christmas program, and we're helping clean up and doing all this stuff. And I take what they say is garbage and I bring it home with me. And last night I'm rolling on my bed trying to figure out what am I going to make stuff up. And I feel something hard under my mattress and I'm going, what is that? Because I sleep on a mat on the floor. I sleep Korean style because I don't hurt in the morning if I sleep Korean style. And this is what I was laying on. I don't know if you can see it. It is a dowel rod that one of the props had all these rods that were part of the prop. And when they were cleaning up, they were throwing everything out. And I grabbed them and I took them home. And those are the basis of my teacher's abacus.
So,
but you know, God knew I needed them 3 months ago.
Yep.
I didn't know what I was gonna use them for. I just knew I was supposed to take it home, but I didn't know what for, but he did, so. That's my funny.
That's awesome.
Praise, because now I can make them.
Okay, you guys. You are being awful quiet tonight. This is quite interesting considering that there was such a wild bunch of women in the house last night. I'm just saying. Oh, okay. Anybody else? Oh, goodness. I do love any kind of manipulative, they can see. I love it. Hey, Kevin. Yes, you're a little, there's like some static, but go for it. We can hear you. You're better now.
I think she hung up. Nope, she's still there.
How funny. Boy, I want to hear that voice. I know she always has good stuff.
Oh, she does. She probably is not going to say anything. We spent a little bit of time together this evening, and I had a message from one of the ladies that was attending last night, and she asked us to take her to court. Mm-hmm. And so we went to court, and Linda opened the door for the last 2 weeks. And just to speak for her, she said Monday night when after she left the conference, she said it was like the fog was gone. The demonic activity that had been ministering to her was gone after we prayed, you know. And so she was like a new person, and I felt like I got my Linda back. Mm-hmm. And what a blessing it is to do this and see fruit. You know, yes. Sometimes we see immediate fruit. Sometimes we won't see fruit until we get back together again. But we will see fruit from this conference because God's all over it. The Holy Spirit has met us every night to set the captives free, to take us to that next level, to build our faith, to believe God will do what he says he'll do. Just like three sticks, three dowels, who would know, you know, that that was the answer to prayer, and to get to come and share how good God is to meet your need, even when you can't leave the house. That's awesome, Chris. And I just praise God for answered prayers. You know, even the prayers that we don't get to share, y'all don't share with us, but we know God is working in your life to answer your heart's cry, to set you free, to bring you to that next level. Yeah, so thank you for sharing.
Oh, so good, so good. Yes, okay. I'm going to say 3, 2, 1. Come on.
Well, I am going to have to go. Okay. I have got a little sweet daughter that's in there by herself tonight. Danny is out of town. And so I just need to go spend a little time with her this evening.
Okay. You want to wrap us up in prayer, Lucia?
Yes, I would just be honored to do that.
Okay.
Father, what an awesome message you have given us tonight. Lord, I thank you for Michelle.
Yes.
I thank you that you have given her the boldness and the courage to share her testimony. Mm-hmm. And Lord, I thank you that she has overcome intimidation. She has overcome the lies of the enemy to be such a blessing to everyone that has been here tonight. Father, I thank you that we can take the principles of her teaching and apply it to our own lives and know Jesus is such a gentleman and that he is so safe that we can trust him, that he is such an awesome big brother, an awesome savior, our best friend. And Father, I thank you that we get to know Jesus on a whole nother level than what we know him tonight, Lord, when we came in the room.
Yes.
Now, Father, I speak a blessing over everyone that's attending. Father, I ask you to bring them increase, not just financially, Father, but spiritually, mentally, physically. Father, I thank you that we have a covenant of restoration. And Father, I thank you for those that need restoration tonight. It begins manifesting right now.
Yes, Lord.
Father, I thank you for peace in our hearts, peace in our mind. I thank you for joy. I thank you for your presence tonight, Holy Ghost.
Yes.
I thank you that you ministered life to every one of us tonight. And you encouraged us. You loved us. You just wrapped us up in your glory tonight. And we just thank you for that. Lord, as we go about our way tonight, I thank you that your peace goes with us. And Father, we lift Kim up to you tonight and tomorrow. We thank you that there'll be no distractions in her home, Lord, or in her mind. Father, I thank you that she hears your voice so clear tonight and tomorrow as she does her final preparations for her talk tomorrow night and what she's going to share. I thank you that she'll have peace and confidence to share what you have put on her heart. And Father, I thank you that she will share it with boldness, with gentleness, with power, that she'll share it in her personality, Father, that'll minister life and love to us as we wrap up this conference. And Father, we ask you for these things. We praise you for these things, and we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, you guys, we will join back tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Central Time. And of course, Kim will be our wonderful speaker tomorrow night. I am really expectant tomorrow night. And Michelle, thank you very, very much for tonight. I feel like I am so full to overflowing. And I love, by the way, if you guys have got your action guide, this is a great follow-up to continue your conversation with the Lord tonight. And tomorrow, just she actually walks you through what she was talking about, you know, just going into communion with the Lord and letting him be the one who can help you work through your stories and where he was and who he is for you. So I just want to encourage you to spend some time with that. If you haven't grabbed the set, it's right there. You can grab it this week. It's $17 and it comes with all of the audios, videos from each night. It comes also with the action guide and some bonuses that are, they're just as great as anything else in the set. So I just want to encourage you to grab that. Also, make sure to connect. If you're over there, just follow that link and go to my website. I would love for you to connect with me, connect with Michelle, connect with Lucia, connect with Felice, connect with Kim. I can promise you that any one of the speakers here, part of the reason that I have asked them to be a part of this is because I'm fully confident that if you want to get together with them on the behind, you know, apart from the event, that I know that they are going to be faithful to help you hear the voice of the Lord and to come aside and let him minister to your heart. So definitely, I love that someone connected with Lucia and Linda today. And if you need some deliverance, you need some breakthrough, we are here for you. Please, this is that time. I really am expecting, and I would love to know, are there those of you that have been a part of these sessions that God has done something in you? Because if that's not your story, ask him tonight, what do you want to do? What do you want to do in me? And listen, just let him speak to you. Let him work in you. He desires nothing more than that communion with you.
Amen. Good night, y'all.
Good night. Y'all have a great night. Yes. Being still. That's so good. I love it. Y'all have a great night.